Well, how many excited about the Lord? This is a time to be excited and thrilled about being in the kingdom. Now, this is the time of the year during Sukkot for you to celebrate, to sing, shout, spend time with family, give God all the glory. Because remember, ask yourself this question. If he came to visit me at my house, would I change anything? Would I change anything I do in my routine? Because this week is what is actually being celebrated. It's when he tabernacles with us. Remember, he tells Moses to get the material ready to build a tabernacle, and then the pillar of fire and the cloud, and all that comes down, and everybody's in the temporary dwelling. This is what this week represents, and it's what we'll do literally in the millennium. How incredible that is. So we're supposed to rehearse this until that event comes. So who thinks that we got a lot of work to do? Amen. Let me ask you this question. I want to talk about this. I was wondering how to do this. What do we need to compare it to? How many remember what the time of the year when Christmas would come around, what it would do for you? How many would feel like something? I want to talk about this. You already know we already went over the study. I'm going to do it in more detail after in between our feast times. But how many remember that there was excitement, like, and you, the radio starts playing and the music and you get in it. How many? Am I the only one? This happens, you know, and it does. Listen, I want you to understand that this Sukkot has to become that. And the only way that's going to happen, you got to dive in. You got to immerse yourself, because that's what we did. We kind of immersed ourselves in that, and it takes time. And when you bring children up in it, they get happy and excited, and you have parties, get-togethers, and it's a big deal. You'll even make invitations out, right? Who's made invitations for Sukkot and sent them out? See how much work we got to do? But we're going to start doing that. Hey, make like this. Wouldn't that be a nice cover, you know, to send out? And you send that out and you say, hey, we're having a get-together at the house. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Get you a list of stuff for people to bring. Start giving them, they may not know about it. Invite them over. You're going to get questions asked. It's a great opportunity. Listen, if we're not happy, if we're not pumped up, if we're not excited, if we're not, giving it everything we got during this time, how much do we really think that we're ready for him to come back? Because listen, when he comes back, you're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. And is it going to be kind of just laid back? It's going to be something. It's going to be a nonstop emotions. It's going to be incredible, because he changes everything when he returns. Are we getting him prepared for that? And then, you know, that time of the year comes, right? And we're in it. We start months in advance, right? Months in advance. We're decorating. We're planning. We got a list of people we do things for that we don't normally do things for. You're just doing it because you're in the spirit of it. You're just getting stuff, right? This is what you got to do during Sukkot. It's got to be that big a deal. So if you want to decorate, it's the time to do it. You want to buy gifts and celebrate? It's time to do it. You want to have a lot of meals and family get-togethers? This is the time to do it. Because this, and you got to think about it this way. We're preparing for him to be with us. Now let me ask you something. If the Most High, Yahweh himself, will come and dwell in a tent, shouldn't we realize how incredible that is when Yeshua HaMashiach comes And like I've been saying the last few services, check it out. I've been studying. I'm praying, asking God, give me understanding here. Could it be a tent that's set up in Jerusalem where the throne of David is, a temporary dwelling? Why does it have to be temporary? What's the point in building a hard structure when New Jerusalem's coming next? And God's working on that. I wonder, listen, Solomon's tabernacle has nothing on this. You understand? Look, gates of pearl. Like one pearl makes a whole gate. Streets of gold. It's going to be, you can't even begin to wrap your mind around how incredible that city's going to be. So I'm saying that before that event, we're going to Sukkot, right? In a temporary dwelling, and Yeshua HaMashiach's going to just bring all the life to it. It's going to be absolutely incredible. So what we want to start doing is take the time to start immersing ourselves in these events. And it's going to take time. And that's why I'm not overly expecting from anybody, but that's my job, just to tell you and remind you, get excited. Get excited. I know, and you're going to have to push yourself in that direction, and you're going to have to take some time to look at what somebody else is doing, get on your computer and look at some things that's happening, and it's going to be incredible. We might have the first sukkah being built in Buras. I saw it the other day. Yes. Passed by, went, pray do tell. Check that out. It's pretty cool. So what if they start popping up all over this peninsula? Folks going to say, there they go. There goes that bunch. I'd rather be known as the bunch that's getting ready for Sukkot with the Most High. It's going to be incredible. And we ought to be, listen, after all, isn't that what we're here for? You can't be here just so your needs could be met. You can't be here so you just feel good about the terrible week you just had. If that's all the hope we got, we might as well quit. We're talking about stepping out of the mortal being into immortality. We're talking about dead in Christ raise and gets ready for this event. Listen, if the dead's going to raise to get ready for this event, we got the live people ought to be extremely happy and excited. If he's going to raise the dead, because it's a big deal. He's raising the dead. So I hope that through our going through the scripture, you'll gain more understanding. But you got 7 days of absolute feasting. Listen, how many feast days is during Sukkot? Every single day is a feast day. It's unlike the rest. The longest one we have is unleavened bread, and it's unleavened bread. It's kind of thinking about it. You know, we just come out of Yom Teruah. You know, we get the alarm sounds. Your emotions is all over the place. Then we go into Yom Kippur, and it's all. But listen, that we finished that now. He says, celebrate. So it's incredible. And we ought to give God praise and glory and honor because he deserves it. Amen? So hopefully tonight I can get us started. Tomorrow night I'll do a little bit more. I won't do as much. It's not going to be long. And then we'll see maybe Sunday I can maybe do some more as far as giving you some information on it. But I want you to understand this is an incredible time. It's a time to be a witness. If you happy and excited, folks will get happy and excited. If you get pumped up about what you're doing, they'll get pumped up about what you're doing. So let's take some time to do so. All right. The next slide I have here, I just put this here. I wasn't even sure how good you'll be able to see it. I knew it would be a little difficult. But it basically is another layout of the feast that we've been taking part in. So number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, some would put this in a different number and call Sukkot number 6. Again, I don't know the reasoning behind all of that, but, you know, from what I can see in Scripture, the first one is Passover. It starts in Passover because it's when he actually takes them out. He takes them out of Egypt, and then he starts saying, this is what I want you to do. Now, we know he had some regulations that he had because Cain came with the right regulation, and we know that Noah fulfilled the right. He was righteous. He was pure, genetically pure also, because remember they had a big issue going on back then with genetic modification. Big issue. And maybe we'll get on that at some time between our feasts. It's a great lesson in Scripture to understand that, because he said, as the days of Noah, so shall there be like when the days when he returns. So we want to, and that's going on right now. There's a big demonstration. Let me just say this. There was a huge demonstration about GMOs made the world news. And the people said, well, you know how, you know, this question came up was, how are you going to feed the world if you don't have GMO? Well, that's easy. Same way you've been feeding the world before GMO come. You get out there and work. You plant. And you put the seed in the ground. Well, the GMO seeds, they grow better, really. Really. I was at AJ's, and he said, I got to show you something. So he took me to a GMO cornfield. And he stopped. He said, get out and look at that corn, ear of corn. It was growing on the tassel. The corn don't even know where to grow no more. I took a picture of it. Well, how many's ever seen that? You know, the ear of corn grows up the side of the stalk, two to the stalk. You know, the little tassel on the top, the ear of corn was growing out the tassel. It don't even make sense to do that, because the tassel has to pollinate down and falls, and then it gets onto the hairs, and then it starts collecting and starts to make the corn. There was growing on the tassel, a corn, a ear of corn, just like that hanging. I took a photo of it. That's your GMO, genetically modified, made in the laboratory, along with everything else. You know what it is? Let's distance ourselves away from God. You know, well, let's get over here. We got our own thing going on. Well, I'm going to tell you, what we ought to be doing through all these feast days is going closer to Him, pushing, going closer to Him, and getting excited. And let me tell you, it's not an easy thing. I'm repeating some of the same stuff I said last Sukkot. We got to get involved. You got to get excited about it. You got to immerse yourself in it. And what happens? It'll grow on you. The truth. It's the truth. It'll grow on you. You'll realize that I could do it. There's a lot of stuff I can do. Don't take some, well, we can't do anything no more. You know, I'm going to church at Faith Temple. They don't do nothing. I told you I'd give you more services. You get tired of coming to church. I'll give you a lot to do. But it's up to you to start implementing these things at your house, implementing them in your family, implementing them with your neighbor. Let everybody know. Don't be ashamed. If you see anything that's not in the Scripture, then come and tell me. This is what the Word says, that we should have been doing all along. You ought to be thankful that He didn't leave us there. You ought to be thankful that He done everything He could to have the death of His own Son so He can marry us again. How many enjoyed understanding, you know, the end from the beginning and taking a closer look at the Word of God? That was a lot of stuff we covered. How many thank God He remarried? He brought, through death, though. Somebody died for that to happen. And I'm thankful for that. And I don't want to waste. So anyway, this lays out some of that, just something nice for you to see. So let's go through this. We'll cover as much as we can, kind of going back from scratch and looking at Sukkot. Sukkot, also spelled Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, booths, or in gathering, is in the, and again, the sixth of the seventh annual feast days. See that? The sixth of the seventh annual feast days. Again, this is because some count it different. I tend to count it the way I showed you on the slide. And I'll explain why this is the way it is. Feast of Days in Yahweh's plan of redemption for mankind. It occurs in the early fall of the year on the 15th day of the seventh month. So we started on the first day. Remember that? The only feast that falls on the first day of a month is Yom Teruah, the only one. Then on the 10th, Yom Kippur. Then on the 15th, all in the same month. So technically, this month is like, you know, at the end, you're tired. Let me ask you, who's been tired after Christmas holidays? Well, you go, oh, glad that's done. You know, you're getting involved, you're going to parties and shopping and cooking. How many cook a lot during that time? Where you bite up a bunch of people. This is the time for you to do that. If you want, look, if cooking's your thing and putting together stuff, this is the time. This is it. If going and getting stuff for your kids and explaining to them why you're doing it, what's this all about? This is the time of the year. You want to buy them something, go on and buy them something. See, you don't have to quit buying. If you was into the buying, buy on. But you ever wondered that there was other things that pushed us? I don't know if it was a spell or what it was. But you get right in. You drop stuff that you don't even have. I'm talking about to pull the plastic out and bam. You're just getting it. And they suck you into the tail and you just done it. And at the end, then you went, oh boy, I got to pay for all that. You know, that month comes and when January comes, you get that bill in, that statement. And you're just looking at it. What did I do? But you, again, if that was your thing, go ahead and get me something. It occurs in the early fall of the year on the 15th day of the seventh month on Yahweh's biblical calendar, 15 days after Yom Teruah, the day of shofar blowing, and 5 days after Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. This festival lasts for 7 days, and directly following is a separate festival called the Sheminai Azeret, literally meaning the eighth solemn day. The eighth solemn. So how many, if it's the eighth solemn day, what are the rest of the days? They're supposed to be solemn. Now there's only two Shabbats though in the solemn. That way there's no civil work. Starts tonight in the evening, finishes tomorrow evening. Then they got the eighth day as a Shabbat. So you got two in this feast. All its own. This is not the only time that happens. Because if you look at Passover, you'll see that we have that and they're really close together. That's where they get the confusion in the count when they start trying to count it. Because we have what's called High Sabbath, which is additional Sabbath from the weekly Sabbath. These, and again, so you'll have a Shabbat on the first day of Sukkot. And then you'll have one on the eighth day. Unless they fall on the time where it hits a regular Shabbat, and it could where it doesn't. You'll have three in this feast. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely incredible. So, and all those things were important to God. The Feast of Tabernacle pictures this glorious epic in the history of humanity tenured upon this earth. A time of unspeakable joy, triumph of good over evil, righteousness over wickedness, the children of light over the children of darkness, love over hate, and the truth of Yahweh. How many want to have the truth of Yahweh is epitomized by Yeshua over the lies of Satan? This is what it's all, this is what pumps you up, right? Not a story that you don't know if it's real or not. This is a real story. And you say, you know what? The thing that's been wrong, what do you think is going to happen with all of our attitudes when the trumpet blows and Yeshua HaMashiach returns? You think that following Sukkot is going to be like this Sukkot? Let me tell you. We're going to enter into the church with a skip in our step. Right? It's going to be something. It's going to come all over you. We should start seeking that now. We should start seeking that. That's what I said about, listen, remember, Holy Spirit, right? Book of Acts. And we have these different movements, charismatic movement, Pentecostal, whatever. And people got in, they'd get into the service. You know, we'd sing songs like, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we get in it, you know, we'd be like that. And we got in it. So by the time everybody's, and somebody might be over there. But after a while, you know, and then before you know it, two or three, and it just kind of gets in there, and then your spirit moves. That's what we call it, the spirit move. And then somebody will hit the aisle, and then when they hit it, if somebody's emotions was right on the edge, let me tell you, it was on, right? And so that was that. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, am I against that? Absolutely not. But I am when there's no teaching. There's no understanding about the scripture. This is the time where we're supposed to be waving our hands and picking our feet up and having an incredible time. But we got a guide to guide us through it. Tells us what to do, how to do it, how to worship Him. This is what this is about. And why are we doing that? What's the drive? Yeshua over Satan. A lot to shout about. Truth over the lie. A lot of stuff to shout about. Right? Life healing over sickness and death. And it's going to be evident. Because the people who died, you're going to start seeing them. I mean, they're going to breathe right there in front of you. You're going to go, you know, you've been dead 20 years. Not no more. This is the day that the Lord has made. And you're going to be right there with them. You're going to, let me tell you, you'd be right there going, oh my. You're going to be so excited. But listen, we're rehearsing that. That's what we should be rehearsing. There's something about it. And I've been thinking about it throughout all, from Yom Teruah. What about we just come to our services and start acting like this is that day? This is that time. It tells us it's going to be at this time. That's what we should be doing. And so then we have something to guide us with the Spirit, rather than just being off with emotions in the Spirit with no guide. I'm all for the power of the Spirit moving, but it has to guide us so that way we don't start doing something that's not scripturally sound. Then we can just, and let me tell you, there's a lot of room for you to just let the Spirit of God move. But it's within the structure of the Scripture. Then at the end, somebody says, that's not the Lord. We'll show them the Scripture, what it says right here. It's what it says. Then we sing this song, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. That fell on the day of Pentecost. Remember that? And we sing that song, and before you know it, we go over it and over it and over it. Then we come out with a song. It's just like fire shut up in my bones. Huh? It's just like fire. It's fire, 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 fire shut up in my bones. I'm saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's fire, 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 fire shut up in my bones. Am I the only one who's singing that here? No, y'all were singing it. Huh? and you're gonna, your feet start going like with the beat, right? And then get, you know, you gotta loosen it up some kind of way, and don't let nobody get out their seat and come to the front. We was on them. All right? Is there anything wrong? Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But where's the Scripture to guide us? The thing is, so you look at Scripture to guide us, what's going to cause us to step out in that? Do what He tells us to do. If He says that we should be celebrating, we should be celebrating. Remember that song we used to celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Anybody want to do that? Celebrating. And we can do that. All those things are important. And he shows us why we're doing it, though. What are we celebrating? Because he conquers, and he's better than all the lies Satan ever told. And the proof is now there he is. Why do we celebrate Sukkot? We're saying that we're that excited because one of these days that is going to be real. How many of you know you can sing and it only affects your emotion? But when you sing and your emotions are affected, but the truth that you're singing is grounded in the scripture, you can keep on singing. You can just keep on doing it. Somebody says, well, we don't do it. That's fine. According to what the word says, I'm telling you, I believe that the chorus and the choir is going to have a breakout when he comes and splits the eastern skies. There's going to be a breakout. Folks are going to be singing. Folks are going to be shouting because of the wonderful things that he does. Thus says Yahweh's word on the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. So we'll kind of look at that. I don't know if I'll cover the eighth day too much tonight, but I'll try to cover it as much as I can. So let's look at the word. That's what we're going to go through. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34 through 43. It says this, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation." See that? The first day is a holy convocation. The eighth day is a holy convocation unto you. "And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, drink offering, everything upon this his day. Besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto Yahweh." So, remember I said there's a holy convocation on the first, a holy convocation on the eighth, besides your Sabbaths. Besides that. So, if you have one that falls in between, you still got to keep that. That's in between. And so on those days, there were different offerings. He said all of it is going to be happening all at the same time. So there's a lot going on. Believe me, there's a lot of stuff going on this particular week. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. And the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of brooks, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. So what you do is you would take, there's a fruit, it's kind of a citron, it'd be like a citron fruit, it's different, we don't grow them here, but they'll take the citron and they would take that fruit. And they would take willow branches, palm branches, the stems and the leaves, and make like a arrangement. Okay? And you would take that arrangement, and you would be singing those songs that I was singing, and you'd be waving them and twirling them and just having yourself a good old time. Right? So he's talking about getting something and decorating it. And using that as an act of worship to the Lord. That's what he said. So he's saying, if you want to do something like that, here's a place that tells you to do it. Isn't that incredible? So we might have been doing something that he told us, he never instructs us to do. But here he's saying, do that. I want you to do it. So you can take some time, and you want to make you one for real, and go and get you some nice willow leaves or palms or whatever you want to do, and we don't have the exact fruit there. I was looking at, you know, if there was any very specific reason for that. I think it was just readily available. It's what they had available to use. But you might want to do something with citrus, lemons or oranges or whatever. and you know, just whatever you want to do. So if you wanted to put that out, you know, make a nice arrangement with those things and decorate your house, wherever you are, put one in the vehicle, right? Because during the times that we celebrate other stuff, we'd put stuff in our vehicle, we'd put it at work. You pop one of them in a vase at work, they're going to go, what is that? Right? They're going to actually say, well, let me tell you, this is the celebration week. This is an incredible Feast of Tabernacles. What was that? What's that? But we're anticipating the time when Yeshua HaMashiach returns for the second time, and we're going to celebrate with him. It's going to be incredible. That'll conversate. Amen? But you can do all this stuff. He says to. Look, I'm reading it. He says, go do it. Do we have willows by the brook down here? You better believe we do. And they're not bad looking. You get a nice one, you know, they're not bad looking at all. So you got stuff. We got some palms. You got to grow them yourself, but they're not native. But you can get some palms. You can order them, right? When's the last time you seen a Christmas tree growing down here? You ordered one. So you order the stuff. You know, get it where they got it. If you can find a citron fruit, go get you some of those. There's all sorts. You can order them. I'm sure you can. But when you put it all together, you're making something that's a celebration. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh. How many days? 7 days in a year. In the year. And it shall be a statue forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it on the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. Dwell in booths. What is he saying, dwell in booths? Because remember, he's telling Moses, when he goes back up, he says, get all these materials, and I want you to make a booth, a tent. He's saying, you're going to make a sukkah for me, and then you're going to have them, and we're going to have a great time. Can you imagine the excitement of the people? Now, I've been studying that we could possibly have the design wrong. That's a whole study all its own. And I'm going to finish out that study. And we could possibly have the design wrong. Not the booths that we do, because that was within our capacity to gather those materials. But I'm talking about the one he had to build for Yahweh to come and dwell, his presence to dwell in it. It's an incredible study, and I'm still investigating it. And as soon as I feel comfortable, I might just show you, just so you can help me with the investigation. But I tell you what, it's pretty incredible. Can you imagine? Let me just say this. Could you imagine that when you read it, we read the details, because he gives very specific details, and you can't add anything. Okay? So how many has ever seen the square, rectangle, kind of courtyard, and then another square, rectangle type, holies of holies, and then within that, another one, the most holies. And the Ark of the Covenant was in there with the stakes and the poles. And then it talks about silver sockets. You remember that? The silver sockets, and starting the weight of those things, you know, a couple hundred pounds a piece. All right, okay, this ain't adding up. And then you got all these stakes, you see, to hold them walls up, and then you go, okay, he didn't say to put that many. You start counting them, and he says, don't add or don't take. And then, so this engineer came along, and he read it, and in his engineering understanding, a believer and seeking the truth, he said, we've done it wrong all this time. They're supposed to, he says, take the ends and put them together. Well, instead of going the one way, he just turned the ends the other way, and it made a circle. And it had enough supports by the silver sockets. And then he continued to overlap. And when he overlapped, just like it said to do it, it wound up being a round dome type tabernacle with the hole in the middle, and the pillar of fire and the cloud would come straight down the middle. It's pretty incredible. And it was 60 feet tall. So could you imagine? You're moving in the wilderness, and all of the rest of the people around is talking about that group of people. I mean, that's some, they talking about this Yahweh and all this stuff, and that fire comes and lights up that 60 foot high building. They're going to go, oh boy, we better watch this. Well, anyway, I'm going to get some of this material, put it out there for you, one of our Bible studies on a Thursday or something, and let you see what I'm talking about. A lot of people is looking at this and they say, what? We could have been taking the information straight out of the book. You start thinking and you put everything in, and we see it now, especially with the earth and the firmament and all that stuff. It just goes right along with it. All right, Exodus 23:14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread for 7 days, as I've commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Means you go before him with something. And the feast of harvest and the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and in the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in the laborers out of the field. What is it also called? The feast of ingathering. When I seen that, that's talking about this feast, the booths. Because remember, I'll read it again. The feast of harvest, the feast of the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year. The end of the year, when thou hast gathered in the labors out of the field. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before Adon Yahweh. And that would be Adonai. You appear before him. Three times a year, all the males. You had to go to Jerusalem. You had to appear before him. That was just the way the command was. Now we know we can't do that in celebrating this. And if we went there, it would make no sense anyway. There's no high priest. Where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father, right? Making intercession for us. So going and appear, that's something we can't. Because I had this, you know, that said, oh, y'all keeping feasts, huh? Yeah. Well, how y'all doing that? Y'all go to Jerusalem every year? No. Well, y'all can't keep it. It says three times a year, the male's got to appear before Yahweh. I said, well, last I heard, he's tabernacled with us, according to when he sent Yeshua HaMashiach, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we can tabernacle with him right where we are. And the priest is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now. So I submit we can, listen, I'm appearing before him. And on those three times, one time we didn't. We came to church. But we didn't specifically set aside three times out of the year that we appear before him. And we acknowledge that we're doing that. This is a great time to do it. And this is one of them. And this is the one we're going to keep in the millennium. This feast. So take some time and let's say to the Lord, Lord, I appear before you. I'm appearing before you not without anything. He said, don't be empty-handed. And so it's a time to not only to give to each other, but most important, to make sure you're giving to the Lord. And that could be in many different facets. I'm not going to twist and spin that. But they had to bring gifts. They brought gifts to the Most High, and we should do that. I can tell you, a lot of the prosperity, they'll spin that and say, you just got to give an offering to me. And that's just not what it's saying. We got to bring something before the Lord. And that, again, you pray and ask the Lord about that. The Feast of Harvest, the Feast of First Fruits, and when you sow it in your field. So you see that. And verse 17, three times in the year all the males are to appear. Numbers 29, verse 12, and in verse 35. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation, and shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. All sacrifices and offerings are to be made on these days, or then listed. And he lists those things. On the verse 35, on the eighth day you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. And again, the sacrifices and offering ought to be made on this as listed. You can keep reading. I didn't have time to put all of these in here, but you can keep reading. It just gives the list on what you're to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13 through 17, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and thy manservants, and thy maidservants, and the Levites, the stranger, and the fatherless, the widow, that are within thy gate. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto Yahweh thy Elohim, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh thy Elohim shall bless thee in all thine increase. Anybody want that? What he's going to do? Yahweh, your Elohim, going to bless thee in all thine increase and all the work of thy hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. How many see that? So what is another reason we should be rejoicing at this time? Because this is the time that the Most High, Yahweh, our Elohim, said he promises to bless our increase, to bless the labors of our hand, and therefore we ought to rejoice. Somebody said, why are you so happy? Why? I'm happy. I'm getting a raise. That's why I'm happy. I'm getting a promotion. I'm experiencing healing at this time. Deliverance. I'm going to experience all kinds of things. I'm going to have more wisdom, more understanding. The labor, when I put my hands to do it, will be blessed. I turn to the right, it's going to be there. I turn to the left, it'll be there behind me and in front of me. It'll be there because he's going to bless me. He said it. He said, therefore, you ought to rejoice because this is the time of rejoicing. This time right here. God, I thank you, Lord, that my needs are going to be met. I'm going to have increase. How many want to experience this? This ought to be what's driving you and pumping you, getting ready for this time. Let me just tell you this. When Yeshua HaMashiach shows up, you think maybe, just maybe, things are going to change? What's the first thing going to change? The dead's going to raise. That's change. That's real change. You know, these folks running for election talk about change? They don't know nothing about change. You want to see real change? The dead people get up. Those who are in Christ, of course. There's a little contingency there. All right? Then the live folks change. Then which are alive and remain. There's a change. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. The dead raise and alive and remain. They change. It's real change. You think maybe, and he comes in and he takes over government. You think there's going to be anything to rejoice about? So what we should be doing during this time, rejoicing because the labor of your hands, when he's in the command, at the command, the labor of your hands is going to be a different increase from that when he's in charge. We should be saying now, by faith, because I serve who I serve, when I put my hands to something, it will be blessed and I thank him for it and rejoice about it. You don't want to increase because you want to show off to your neighbors or your friends and family. That's not what the increase is about. We're talking about increase because you serve the Most High God, and he says, I'm going to bless your increase. I'm going to bless the labor of your hands. Who wants that favor? Every time you turn around, it's favor and more opportunity in relationships and people you meet. And it's just coming. It comes in from all directions. And then somebody says, man, what you doing? Man, I'm telling you, I started doing Bible things in Bible ways, and things changed for me. I was going over this, and just from the time we started Yom Teruah, I'm telling you, it's something about it. And you don't think you're going to be fought? You don't think you're going to be attacked? You don't think you're going to be tricked? The devil's going to try to, this is the time he's going to try to trick you. He's going to try to set you off. He's going to try to make this happen and that happen. I'm telling you, push on. Push on past all the nonsense, all the stuff going on. Just push on and you watch and see. When we start doing Bible things in Bible ways and you come out of it, it's going to be incredible. You'll walk in a room and things are going to change. You'll walk in a church and they're going to realize, I better start listening to what's about to be told because something's about to happen. No matter where you go, no matter where your feet walk, no matter where God sends you, the anointing will be with you because you're doing it His way. It's going to be a difference. It's going to be a big, big difference when we step into this time. And this is what we're celebrating. So this is a big deal. I know we've done all the rest of the feast, but this is a big deal, this one. It's got to be enough to get us through all the stuff that's about to happen. He said, let's rejoice, let's get excited. Because they're going to go into what? They're going to go into a time where it's going to start being dormant. There's no more crops. It's going to get into the winter time. You don't think Most High knows what He's doing? He pulls you in, gets you real tight so you can feel the very warmth of Him through all that time. Because guess what? The next time it comes around, I don't care how dark it got, how cold it got, you can be assured you're going to step right in and things are going to start coming back to life again. We don't need somebody else to give us something to tell us that's what's going to happen when we got the Most High who says, just follow and do it my way. And that's what the world wants. They want to tell you, well, we know, you know, that's why we want to have this big celebration and family gathering and gift giving, because we got to wait. When the Word says that for us, it tells us when to do that. So how many see that? Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy sons, thy daughters, thy maidservants, manservants, maidservants, Levites, strangers, fathers, the widow within thy gates. 7 days shall thou keep a solemn feast of Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh thy Elohim shall bless thee in thine increase and in all the works of thy hands. Anybody want that? All the work of your hand. How many's ever got tired? How many ever felt like you worked so hard that day that the money you got wasn't worth it? Don't feel that way no more, because I'm going to tell you, Yahweh's looking at it and says, just keep on sweating. Keep on pushing, because I'm about to bless all the works of your hands. Isn't that incredible? It don't make a difference. Sometimes it's tough. That's okay. Let it be tough. He knows what He's doing. 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before Yahweh the Elohim in the place that He shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles. There's the three. How many see it? And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able. Don't do anything above that you are able to do. Anybody tell you any different? It's not true. Send me, I've got $1,000 anointing on me. Woo! I feel it. That's untrue. There's no $1,000 anointing on nobody. How many's ever seen that? That's crazy. You got no anointing on you. Liar. I can show you all them videos. I show them to you, and you'll be up here going. Sometimes I want to do it, and I don't want to waste the time in showing you what I can teach for them 5 minutes. I want you well, you're going to be well equipped. Let me tell you one thing. Say whatever you want. People can say whatever they want. But you here, when He comes, you're going to know it's Him, and you're going to be ready for Him. You're going to be ready for Him. Anybody can say whatever they want, but you're going to say, wait up, I was there on a Wednesday. I got the CD. It said that right there. And I ain't fooled by none of this other stuff that's going on. I'm going to know when He comes. You'll be ready. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of Yahweh, thy Elohim, which He had given thee. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse 14 through 18. And they found written in the law which Yahweh had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. What happened here in this Nehemiah thing? Where were they coming from? What were they doing? And now they found. Notice that. And they found written in the law The reason they found it, because they quit doing it. For 70 years, this is the southern kingdom. Remember the two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, they're still booking it the other way. But here's the southern kingdom, Nehemiah, Ezra. You read Nehemiah, Ezra. That's the return, rebuilding of Jerusalem. They found in the law, which Yahweh had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. That's what they said. We hadn't been doing that. No kidding. We know what that feels like. We haven't been doing it either. But they found it. Time to return. What they were doing? Babylonian for 70 years. We return it. And they said, and that they should publish. You see? And they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mountain, fetch olive branches, pine branches, and myrtle branches, and pine palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. Notice that there's a difference in the branches. How many gets the thing here? Just get branches. And that's what they have. What are they using that for? To put a roof on. They put a, you know, make a little covering and kind of put stuff over it. How many understand what I'm talking about? So they publish. You got to publish. You got to let people know. So they said, and so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts. So what were they doing in Jerusalem? I went online. You can see even in Jerusalem today, wherever they are, because the way as the city's built, there's multiple stages of living quarters. So what do? They go up on the top and they'll pitch out these booths all over. So this is not a new thing. This has been going on for a long time. And everyone upon the roof of his house and in the courts and in the courts of the house of Elohim, in the streets of the water gate and in the streets of the gates of Ephraim, and all the congregations of them that came again out of the captivity made booths. The ones that came where? Out of what? Captivity. How many thank God we come out of captivity? So what do we need to do? We need to have the feast of booths. This is important. Why? It's something. People's wondering, what are they doing? Why are they celebrating? Because it's going to be a day like no one's ever seen. There's not been a day like this day. It ain't going to be like when he was born in a manger. By the way, kind of like a booth. Sort of. Anyway, think about this. We're saying, never been a day like this day. When is this coming? Well, we're celebrating it now for when he returns. Is he going to come and just kind of come and disappear or whatever? No, he's going to take over. He will take over. And we want to be in the family, right? That way, when you get the invo to come to the dinner, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine what kind of decorations and layout that's going to be? And we ain't doing none of the decorating. You remember that? Because we're limited in our capacity to decorate. So he's going to command the host, get ready. I'm talking about lay it out nice. And you're going to walk in there. And you're going to pass one of them chairs, and it's going to say, Justine. Pull that seat out. I got my seat. Your name's going to be there, and you're going to be sitting there. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. Everybody's going to be dressed in white. And the King of Kings going to come out in the royal regalia. It's going to be incredible. It's going to take his spot. And the meal is going to be served, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to have it's going to be incredible. The job won't be done after the meal's over. There'll be work to do. We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. What are we going to? He's going to say, okay, y'all ready? Let's go. Tabernacle among them. And we'll all set up. Each one, he'll be in his tabernacle, throne of David. And we'll be in ours. However it's going to be set up. It's going to be incredible. And then we'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Isn't that great? So, and all the congregation of them that were came together out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day had not the children of Israel done so. It was a big, big, big disappointment. And there was very great gladness. Anybody glad? How many feel like you can start getting your mind wrapped around this now? You can start getting more involved and realize how important this is. Since Joshua, the son of Nun, they never celebrated it, but now they're back. So if you think we are the first to have this big gap, we're not. The southern kingdom returned first. Now we're part of the northern kingdom, which is, I believe, 2009, 2010, is having this great awakening. It's happened all over the world, by the way. All over the world. More and more people are being branded and being called outcasts and being ejected out of mainstream organized religion. They're being told to get out. We wasn't in one, so we were us. And we started doing this, and we still us. You know, it's not like, you get out. We didn't have that. But I feel for the people who in organized religion, they tell them, hit the road, Jack. Get you a new building. And they are. They're breaking out, and some of them meeting in their homes. I love it. Because they're doing Bible things in Bible ways. Amen? Verse 18. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of Elohim. And they keep the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Isn't that amazing? So what you want to be doing this week as you're celebrating, read out the scripture. Just read. Just get your Bible. Start reading. They read out the scripture every day. Every day. So it'd be great, a great thing. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 through 19. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Now, I want you to see that Yeshua is going to be reigning, and he's going to be reigning because he's given the authority to reign for on behalf of someone. Who is he reigning for? The Most High. Because he's at the end in Corinthians tells us he was given all authority, and he was given the authority as the representative of the Most High. And at the end, what does he do? Turn it back over. Turns the authority back over. So Zechariah is prophetic. That's actually the millennial keeping of the tabernacle during the millennium. They got to come up how many times a year? Same thing. Once a year, they'll come. This is during the millennium. So keep that in mind. So you mean to tell me we're going to keep it 1,000 times? Well, according to Zechariah. So even after the King of Kings returns, he takes his position, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to go to where? No matter where we stay, we're going to live. Listen, still going to be populated. I know everybody's going to go, okay, where are we going to be? Are we going to be in heaven? Are we going to be on clouds? No. Listen. We're going to be here. And he's going to be in Jerusalem. Talking about Yeshua. And we're going to go every year. And we're going to keep this feast. Why? That's what he said. Why that one? That's what he said. He said, and if you don't do it, there'll be no rain for you. I'm just wondering about that. What's that going to be like? So there's going to be a chance where people won't do it. They'll be told. Now we'll be doing it, right? Because we're already the redeemed. We already been through the blood-bought process, and we already been given immortality. but there'll be some that's going to have to be said, hey, here's your chance. Here's your chance. Be obedient. What are you ruling and reigning over each other? That's senseless. You'll be a kingdom of priests. You'll be ruling and reigning. There'll be other things to be done. And verse 18. And if the families of Egypt go not up. The families of who? I'm going to say that again. And if the families of Egypt go not up. Families of Egypt? Yeah, that the nations won't go away because Yeshua returns. There'll still be nations. And everybody's going to get a chance to come underneath that amazing leadership. But if the families of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plagues wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is in the millennium. So I hope you see that. All right. I won't have enough. I might be able to just cover this quick. I think that's just a couple. Yes, it is. So let's just do this. John 7, verse 2, verse 10, 11, 14, 37 through 39. I'll read that, then we're going to close. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacle was at hand. Okay? It was at hand. You can read the entire thing. I didn't have time to put all of those verses in. So verse 10, the same reading, chapter 7. But when his brethren were going up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So what feast did he go to? This is Yeshua. Which feast did he go to? The Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus was a Jewish feast-keeping Jew. He did it. This is telling us he did. And verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast. What feast? Feast of Tabernacles. And said, where is he? Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. Verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, what is he talking about? The last day of the feast. What day that would be? What? Say it. Watch what he says. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Wow. Isn't that incredible? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believed on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they had not believed on him, which they that believed on him should receive. For the set apart Spirit was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. But so he was speaking, it's coming. So he's saying, listen, this is a great time for you. It's incredible. At the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last day, he says, if any man thirst. That, to me, if you want to talk about grace, and that's what we should be thinking about. Remember the 5 days? You want to sow grace on the last day. The last day. What is he thinking about? On the last day, what is he thinking about? He's thinking about people. He's thinking about, come, if you thirst, come to me. I'll give you a water you'll never thirst again. You want to talk about holding on to the end so people can get it? That's what he does. The last day at a feast, he said, come. And then he started telling me, he said, if you believe as the scripture has said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. How many ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? You talking about change? Well, here's our change. So you got we got 7 days of celebration. We're going to have a feast tomorrow. If you didn't prepare, didn't get the announcements, we announced it on Sunday. We're going to be bring some food. All right? Cook some food and bring it. We put on the men chicken and beef and fixings, whatever goes with that. Potatoes and rice and beans and corn, and bread and desserts. I think desserts go with chicken, last I seen. You know, you put a